today on Real Radio.
I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus, just like you are, and we'll walk together as we follow him. But never look to a man or to a system to be your strength or to be your salvation or to be your key to the presence of God. That would not be right. You want to be very careful about that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message now called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1. He continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is much older now than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we can all take a lesson from. To have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. So far, Peter has taught us to have a faith that's grounded in truth and continues to develop towards maturity. There are false ministries out there who present their own made-up version of Christianity, but Peter's passion for truth warns us to stay vigilant in our battle against deception. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack reminds us to watch out for those who are proud, self-serving, and despise authority. They speak out against the teachings of Christ with no regard for the value of life. They appear confident, successful, but their message is dangerous to our faith. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Wow, it's been a long time since I've said that. 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to be very honest with you. We're going to get into a portion starting now at verse 10. We left off from verses 4 to 9, and today we get into verse 10 to 22. And I want to tell you, I studied verses 10 to 22. And normally, the messages I bring to you are about 9 to 10 notes on my page. And when this morning I threw away so much and then bring my notes down to what it's going to be for this Sunday morning, I had 25 pages of notes. And exactly. So we're going to be staying here for the next 3 hours. I'm kidding. So what happened was we are going to be opening a portion of what Peter is revealing to us in 2 Peter chapter 2, and that is what is a message entitled, What You Really Need to Know. Remember, we've been on that in chapter 2, but this is what you really need to know about who's out there. Peter is going to be exposing and giving us the description and the characteristics of false ministries and false teachers. And that's where we left off in our march. We are talking about a study that we have coined Combat Faith because that's exactly what Peter is talking about. And I tell you, little did we know that we'd be living in a day and an age that that theme would be so incredibly relevant today. Father, this is pretty terrifying stuff. This is your Bible. This is the Word of God. And Lord, I would assume that it'd be much easier to not even study these kinds of things. And yet as we go chapter by chapter through 2 Peter, we know that every word, and as the ancient Hebrews taught and the scribes, that even the space between the words will someday be interpreted by the Messiah when he returns. Well, Lord, we praise you this morning that your Holy Spirit is here to teach us. So Lord, give us light, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And as we look to this portion of Scripture, and it's been so long since we've been together, it's wise for us to be reminded of what 2 Peter is all about. 2 Peter is an epistle that Peter wrote. He wrote two of them. And then the first one he wrote to the church that was dispersed throughout all of the regions of what we would say today is Eastern Europe and parts of Western Turkey. And he spoke to them regarding the fact that they were of the diaspora. What is that? The diaspora. They were the ones that were escaping from their homes. The word means that they were driven from their homes for one reason and one reason only. They had become Christians in the Roman Empire. When the gospel was preached to them, they heard it, they responded, And they, listen, by witness, they knew inside that their lives had been changed. And that inside change was used by God to cause an outside witness. None of us have a witness internally. Do you know that? There is a witness that speaks to us internally, but that is the witness of the Holy Spirit speaking to you on the inside that you are a follower of Jesus, correct? That's what the Bible tells us. In fact, the Bible says that his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are, in fact, children of God. Very, very important. But the world doesn't know that. Fellow brothers and sisters, I put that in quotes because time will prove this to be true, but among fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, the witness is established externally. And so he wrote to them about their salvation. He wrote to them about the security of their salvation. And he wrote to them about their position in Christ. And then some years went by. And Peter now writes to the same audience, but this time, because persecution has broken out in a more violent manner, Nero having gone after the Christians, he writes to them in what we've labeled as a combat faith, that this faith is going to take you all the way through to the end. And this faith is a faith, listen, that wars in the realm of wickedness and of darkness. And that it's going to take combat faith for you and I to discern and to keep from being exposed to false teachers and false religions and false doctrines, which we know from Jesus and other scriptures would prevail in the last days. And so it's important for us to know that, very, very much so. And so now we pick it up in our midpoint of chapter 2. And as we get ready to do that, I want to just give something to you. In fact, watch this. When we learn about false prophets and false teachers, we know something from the Bible. It tells us that they produce a godless lifestyle. It's always true. And in fact, that shouldn't come as a surprise to us when we begin to understand that the reality of what the Bible tells us is the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. If you do something, it's going to have a reaction, correct? If you plant seeds in the ground, you're going to have those seeds come up. If you plant corn in the ground, what's going to come up?
Corn.
You know that. It's God's law, both in nature and in spiritual existence, that whatever we sow, listen, as a believer, we are later going to reap because it's going to grow. It's going to sprout, and it's going to be our experiential reality. If you and I are recreational Christians, you are going to have a recreational faith. And when you have a recreational faith, the world comes along and reality hits, and your faith is swept away in the flood. But if you have an actual proven faith, a tested faith, a faith that you can depend upon because it's not on you, it's on God's word and God's faithfulness, then when those storms come, you will not only endure, you will be victorious in life's difficulties. And every pastor, now I would think it's safe to say in the world, not just America, every pastor is watching this happen to their churches. This last week, I'm hearing of more and more churches who are choosing now not to open their doors again. Not to open. It's too much, too hard. And I don't know about that. That's between them and God. But I tell you, listen, times are rough, but listen, as believers, we can face these days with strength and courage, understanding that our God is strong. We're not strong. He is strong. We hide in Him, not in ourselves. And so it's a very important thing. And as we, in fact, I'm going to do a little test you in a moment. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever's in you is going to come out. And this is kind of a cute little test. Fill in the blank. Birds of a feather. Okay, see? That could have come out of you unless it first went in you, right? If you can't beat them, you will reap what you in you coming out of you. I was going to do a couple of Rolling Stones songs because they're funny lyrics and you would have filled them in and then everybody would have known your age if I would have done that, but it's in you. Listen, John Adams, the great founding father, graduate of Harvard Law, John Adams, the attorney, John Adams, the patriot and founder, founding father in the United States of America. A man, by the way, I might say at a time like this, never once owned a slave. John Adams, very important to know that, said in so few words a most profound truth. It was John Adams who said, "Facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be of our wishes, our inclinations, or dictates of our passion, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence." You like that statement? I like that statement. That's a great word. And so as we look to this portion, as we look to our study today, this is a great thing for us to be looking at. It's our one and final point, church. Look at it. This one point goes today, one and final point today, goes from verses 10 to 14, which you read a moment ago. Write this down if you would. What you really need to know as a believer in this day and age is about who's out there more than ever. Church, do you understand and do you believe that according to the Bible, we're living in the last days? That's what the Bible says. He says, I don't know about the last days. The Bible says since the day Christ came, it's the last days. These last 2,000 years or the last days. That's what the Bible says. If you've never heard this before, just know this, that the entire 2,000 years are known as the last days, but we're on the other end of the last days. We're at the end of the last days. You say, how do you know? Because the Bible tells us that as we approach the absolute end, there'll be deceivers everywhere. And they will be leading people astray by the words that they say and by the events that they promote and that the control they have over people. Everybody wants to beat up on church and say you're a bunch of mindless lemmings who get preached at and you're just led astray like little automatons. And they love to say that about you and about me because they don't know what they're talking about. But then they go right outside and they're led astray by their professors or by people at work or by what's on the internet. Somebody say amen. Is that not true? Someone is leading you. Who is it? Is it Jesus Christ or is it something else or is it someone else? If it's not Jesus Christ, then who is it that's leading you? And I'm going to tell you right now, you better not say, "Would you, Pastor Jack, you go, we'll follow." Ain't going to happen. I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus just like you are, and we'll walk together as we follow him. But never look to a man or to a system to be your strength or to be your salvation or to be your key to the presence of God. That would not be right. You want to be very careful about that. And so the very first argument point is this. What's out there are those who are proud. Write that down, please. Proud. Pride. All of us struggle with pride. Don't tell me you don't. Every single one of us do. It's deeply rooted in our human nature, and it is the foundation of all sin. Pride. Pride is proud. It's Satan's sin. Pride is how Satan, Lucifer, sinned and lost his position in heaven. Pride. It's the worst, absolute, most dangerous thing of all, and yet it's so disguised and it is so, covert, as it were, in our world that many times I think even we as Christians applaud a pride that is an antithesis to God in his ministry and his spirit. Pride. And we're going to see how that proud spirit in the person manifests itself in personal conduct. So if you look at it this way, they are authoritarian. In ministry, in life, in this world, how do we identify the dangerous teachers and the false prophets that are around us? They are, number one, authoritarian. And it's a self-authority. Look at verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries or of authorities. So when the Bible tells us that they walk according to their flesh, it implies this, everyone, in your note-taking, write it down, that they are absolutely self-sufficient. They are proud. How do you recognize a false prophet or a false teacher or a false brother or sister in Christ? Number one, they will be condescending upon you when it comes to spiritual matters. They're proud. They have a special insight that nobody else has. I will tell you the right way. I know that for 2,000 years it was said this way, but God has given me special enlightenment on this topic. And the Holy Spirit, I know, I trust in you, will say, watch out, step back, plug your ears, run. There's a warning to that. Why? Because they're authoritarian on their own doing. They promote themselves. They're very much self-promoters. Everything about them is about them. The word uncleanness is a powerful word. I'm going to give you some words here that cause the scripture to, out of the English, come a little bit more colorful. In the original language, the Greek word uncleanness, the word means defilement. Listen to this. It means filth. It means decay. It means rot. Listen to this. It gets better. The stench of an open pit. You say, well, I don't, open pit, what do you mean? Oh, no, the word means that there's an open, stagnant pool or pit. And have you ever seen such a grotesque thing where the moisture or the wet inside of it looks thick? And it's rotten and it stinks and you see bugs and stuff going off of it and you even see dead animals bloated and floating in it. Am I making this gross to you? I can't do it enough. I don't have the enough vivid of an imagination. It is a wretch of a pit stench. The Bible's graphic. These people have and a wretchedness about who they are. And they don't see it. Their arrogance and their authority and their pride has blinded them. The next word, authority, here, they despise authority. This is an interesting word. Some of your Bibles rightly say governments, that they despise governments. Some scriptures will tell you in the footnote, which I happen to believe in the context of the passages that we're looking at or that we read today, is the fact that the word can also be translated that they despise spiritual authorities. They don't have any respect at all for the things of God. Now, that's a correct way to interpret it for this reason. They don't have any respect for the things of God. But church, let me ask you, is God ordained authority from God? Are the governments from God? The Bible says they are. Is the police officer from God? Is the police officer from God when the lights, the blue and red lights are on behind you? Yes. Are the rules of the law of God? Yes. Very important that we understand that. Authority, the powers that are established, again, predominantly in the spiritual realm, which is very telling because these guys that we're talking about, they are going to wind up hating the authorities that God has put into place. And of course, it's rooted in spiritual realities. And then the word presumptuous. This is an amazing word. The word presumptuous here, this is all adding to the fact that they're proud. The false prophet, the false teacher, the false pastor, the false evangelist, they're proud. Man, I got to tell you, just standing up here, in my mind, I see a kaleidoscope of faces from my TV screen. Of proud, authoritative, condescending, look, ministers. Is that not oxymoronic? To say that you're a minister, but you need to serve me. No, not in the kingdom of God. No. Jesus never once said, by the way, everybody, serve me. Now, let's be honest. It's not stated, but it is certainly made clear that anyone who loves the Lord Jesus Christ devotes their life in service to him. But he doesn't ask for it. That's a good thing. That's a good thing for us to remember. An authoritarian will come up and say, you need to serve me. You need to do this. You need to do the other. And they ask and they push and they promote. Jesus extends his heart to you and he bears his soul to you and he invites you to come and walk with him. It's like a good marriage. In a good marriage, the husband never has to say, you need to submit to me, woman. Listen, if you're in a good marriage, none of that stuff happens. She never has to say to him, you need to love me like Jesus loves the church. Okay? No, if you're in a good marriage, that never comes up. You want to know why? Because out of love, it's happening. You don't have to write it down. It's written on the heart. These false prophets and false teachers know nothing about that. They're authoritarian, and they're rotting, and they're corrupt on the inside. But we'll see soon that it manifests itself in their lifestyles. And so presumptuous, they're reckless. The word means to be reckless with their body. It means to be self-abusing. Isn't that interesting? Presumptuous. The Greek word means to endanger themselves and others, having no regard for the value of life. It means, listen, it means to take your existence. Young people, listen up to this. To take who you are and to throw yourself at life in a reckless manner. That's what false teachers do. They throw themselves, and when it says that they're reckless with because they're given over to their passions. They can't hold themselves back. They don't have self-control. By the way, you see all the evil happening in the world? Yes. Listen, just remember this. You heard it here first years ago. Sin always overplays its hand because it has no self-control. If you give sin an inch, it will take a mile. If you give lawlessness a moment, it will take the day. That's how it works. And when you allow an appetite to prevail in your life, it's going to take over. These false prophets, false teachers, false pastors, these who are false ministers, they may say something publicly on the outside, but down deep inside, you just feel there's something wrong. There's just something wrong. I don't know what it is. There's something wrong. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit when he's speaking to you on that. Over time, in due time, things will be revealed. And don't be surprised if you find out that they're reckless with their body. So what do you mean by that? I knew you'd ask, so here it is. They'll justify their drug abuse or their alcoholism as ministers. They will justify their sexual escapades as being ministers. They will quote verses that say, well, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And they'll wrestle with the Bible to their own destruction. Does that make sense? They will use the Word of God to justify their actions, and then they'll seek to lead you into the same path. They destroy people. More than ever, there are false prophets and false teachers in all kinds of venues today. It doesn't have to be church. Listen, church is certainly the target of Satan. But today, people are being duped by the second, by what they allow into their lives. I sound like a broken record and a dinosaur all in one. Stop reading stuff on the internet. You have no way of knowing if it's true or not. Oh, did you hear? No, I don't want to hear. Oh, did you read? No, I don't want to read. You don't know if it's true. Yeah, but this person said, do you know that person? And people who have no fence, their minds are running wild and running loose because somebody's speaking into their lives, listen, authoritatively. We need to gird up the loins of our minds, says the scripture.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Peter had a way of giving us a wealth of information on what we really need to know and not just what we want to hear about Christian living. We live in a fallen world, that's the truth, and we have a real enemy. Life is tough, but thankfully our God is tougher, and he extends his grace even in the worst of times. Sometimes, though, we could use a little inspiration. And it's why Pastor Jack includes some of his special messages at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com, and once you're there, you'll find topics like how to study the Bible and how to engage the culture in which we live. You'll also find Bible prophecy updates and the sermons he gave live from Israel. Pastor Jack's holiday messages are also included in case you missed them. It's all right there when you go to jackhibbs.com. One more time, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.